The death of Islamic State leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi has raised questions over what happens next, particularly in countries where he inspired Islamic extremists to carry out local attacks. In countries such as Indonesia and the Philippines, small groups and individuals have waged their own battles to create a caliphate. Indonesia has faced several deadly attacks this year. Joining us now to explain what the death of al-Baghdadi means in the region, we're joined by Dr. Greg Barton, Chair in Global Islamic Politics at Deakin University. Welcome to the program.
Hi, good to be with you, Patricia.
So how will his death affect his followers in Southeast Asia?
We don't know yet the consequence of his death on the organisation as a whole in Iraq and Syria, but there's every reason to believe that Islamic State will quickly move beyond this and find another leader who gives this sense of confidence and of things carrying on. Their motto is remaining and expanding. That hasn't looked so good this year. But just lately, the insurgency has been picking up pace in both Iraq and Syria. If they can get through this transition, they may even find a leader who enables them to pivot and say, we're moving beyond the physical caliphate idea. We're back to a global insurgency. They're very good masters of spin and propaganda. Given half a chance, they'll get through this quickly. And then in Southeast Asia, it depends on the inspiration effect. If, so as long as people feel that this is still a winning brand that's going places, that really is remaining and expanding, they'll get behind it. If Islamic State stumbles, then people will look for other sources of inspiration. But I don't think that's likely, unfortunately.
Does ISIS have a strong connection to their followers in Indonesia and the Philippines?
Not direct lines of communication. That there may be some more direct lines of communication in the Philippines, where intelligence is pretty poor and there are fairly porous borders. In Indonesia, intelligence, particularly on the part of the police, the Special Detachment 88, has been so effective that it's forced Islamic State groups to sort of work at the cellular or family level and just sort of figure out things for themselves in a semi-autonomous fashion. The communications are so well monitored. In the Philippines, we have seen people travelling. They joined the siege of Marawi in western Mindanao in the south, and there's ongoing reports of foreigners, so that may be different. But in either case, it's more the inspiration than the direct communications that are important. So if this group in Syria, Iraq shows itself to have a long-term future and to be a rising force again, then it's going to impact the entire world, including Southeast Asia.
Are there other people who can step up with al-Baghdadi gone now? Who are the contenders?
There certainly are. There's one name that's emerging already. He was appointed in August as head of a communications section. We'll have to wait and see whether that's confirmed. And, of course, the danger for Islamic State at this point is if they name people and the locations are known, they've got to figure out, you know, to what extent that they're being monitored, then that person may have a very short-lived career. And this comes back to President Trump's decision to pull American special forces out of northeastern Syria. These raids on Sunday, two raids, were only possible because of a five-year partnership between Syrian Democratic Forces and American Special Forces, in this case Delta Force. And if there are future leaders named, they're likely to be hiding out in the same northwestern section of Syria where Baghdadi and his communications spokesperson were identified and killed. And so the capacity to cut off that next generation depends upon US remaining in Syria. And so that hangs in the balance at the moment. There will be other opportunities in Iraq in future. But whatever happens, I think Islamic State will find a way through. If it loses a leader in the transition, it has quite a deep bench, partly because the leadership was comprised at the core of former Saddam Hussein regime intelligence officers, Baathist technocrats, so very competent people. And it may well be that they were doing the heavy lifting anyway and that Baghdadi was more of a figurehead. But in any case, they're not going to have too much problem finding somebody to step into his shoes.
Dr. Barton, thank you so much for joining us.
A pleasure. Thanks very much.
Dr. Greg Barton is a chair in Global Islamic Politics at Deakin University. And this is RN Drive.